Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Making Memoir Magic. This is the inaugural episode, and I'm your host, Carrie Kreisman. I'm an author, educator, and inspirer. My 30-year career in professional communications and public relations meant that I was always using words in some form or fashion to tell a story. Whether it was writing, producing, and publishing a weekly staff newsletter for 3,000 employees at the local newspaper, writing snappy, quippy marketing copy for advertisers, or crafting narratives for potential funders at the nonprofit where I was public relations manager, I knew that words carried weight. More important, I learned to share my words so that they carried power. Whether I wrote three lines or 300, they all told a story. Today's topic on Making Memoir Magic is Why Your Story Matters, the Power of the Personal Narrative. I'm excited to dive into this topic because it's something incredibly close to my heart. Whether you've always dreamed of sharing your story, or you're wondering if you even have a story to tell, this episode is for you. So let's start with a bit of my own journey. For over two decades, I was a political spouse. My husband transitioned from being a lawyer to entering the political arena. And while he was the one in the spotlight, I was often the one behind the scenes, beside him every step of the way. We didn't expect that our lives would take this path, but life always has a way of surprising you. And that's really the crux of my story, how I became the accidental First Lady of St. Petersburg, Florida. I wrote about that experience in my book, Accidental First Lady, On the Front Lines and Behind the Scenes of Local Politics. I gave a rare view of an often unseen or unconsidered world, that of the political spouse. It's a world where you're expected to be both arm candy and a secret weapon, terms that, let me tell you, I heard more times than I care to count. But I was also a mother, a wife, a friend, and a woman dealing with the ups and downs of life. From raising kids to nurturing a marriage, from sustaining friendships to fighting significant health challenges, my story had layers, and each of those layers helped me see the value in sharing it. And that's why I want to talk about this today with you, why your story matters. You see, we all have stories within us. Some are grand and sweeping, filled with moments of triumph and heartbreak. Others might seem quieter, more intimate. But each of them holds value because they make up who we are and the experiences that shape us. When I first started writing my book, I had moments where I wondered, does anyone really care about my perspective? Will my story resonate with anyone? But here's what I learned. Our personal narratives connect us to one another. When we share our stories, we give others permission to see themselves in our experiences. We open the door to empathy, understanding, and often inspiration. Now, my journey as First Lady of a major city might seem unique, but it's not just about politics or public life. My story is about resilience, about surviving the challenges that life throws at you, from public scrutiny to personal tragedy. It's about showing up for your family, your marriage, and yourself, even when it feels impossible. At the heart of it, that's what makes personal stories so powerful. They remind us that we're not alone, that other people have walked through fire and come out on the other side stronger. When you tell your story, you're offering a lifeline to someone who might be facing a similar situation, whether it's balancing a career and family, coping with illness, or just navigating the everyday chaos of life. Now, I want to emphasize something here. Your story doesn't have to be perfect to matter. In fact, it's the imperfections, the struggles, and the uncertainties that make it real. That's where the real power lies. It's in the raw, unpolished truth of your experiences. When I wrote my memoir, I didn't just share the high points. I talked about the hard days, the moments when I felt like I was losing myself, the times when I had to dig deep just to get through another day. And you know what? Those were the parts of the book that resonated the most with readers. People reached out to me and said, "Thank you for saying what I felt, but never knew how to put into words." And these people weren't necessarily in the political realm. They were not political spouses, but they were people, men and women, just like me, who saw themselves in my situations that I shared through my stories. And that is the magic of storytelling. You never know who needs to hear your story until you share it. Now let's talk about some of the roadblocks that all memoirists, me included, face at one time or another. Writing a memoir is incredibly rewarding, but it's also challenging. There are certain hurdles that can trip us up, even if we're not aware of them. Let's go over a few of these common roadblocks, because if you are thinking about writing your memoir, you're probably going to encounter at least one of these. The first is time. A lot of aspiring writers feel like they just don't have enough time to write. Life is busy, whether it's family, work, or other obligations. Finding the time to sit down and write can feel impossible. I understand. But here's the truth. No one really has extra time. You must make time. Even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes a day, every little bit adds up. Consistency is more important than waiting for large blocks of time that might never come. Now, I believe that writing is a form of art, and that authors are the artists of the written word. So with that said, I recognize that just as artists work in their preferred mediums, writers don't always, or can't always, conform to a rigid schedule. Some authors write best in spurts, when creativity strikes, and most of us can relate to being on a walk, driving, or even showering. And boom, there's that idea for a new chapter, an end to the one we're struggling with, or a memory we thought we'd long buried. So we stop what we're doing, we grab our notebook or phone, and we jot down the thoughts before they escape. Then as soon as we can, we grab the iPad or plop down in the seat at our desk and we write furiously. Within an hour, we may have 3,000 words. Does this sound like you? If so, consider that a form of progress, even if you don't write 15 minutes or 30 minutes every single day. And the important thing to remember here is that you must be aware of your unique writing style. Not your words, but your habits and strengths. If you know that you may not function best on a rigid schedule, but that you do end up getting words on paper, then you are indeed making progress. So another challenge that all authors face at one point, some more than others, is choosing which story to tell. As memoirists, we often feel like there's so much we could write about. How do we decide what is worth sharing? How do we narrow it down? One thing I always tell aspiring authors is that you don't have to tell every story. Remember, memoirs differ from autobiographies in that they don't encompass your entire life. Memoirs are based on a period of your life that reflects your personal growth and transformation. So another roadblock, to piggyback on that one, is structuring your narrative. So even when you know what story you want to tell, how do you organize it? Do you start at the beginning and go in chronological order? Do you weave in flashbacks? Many writers struggle with how to piece together the events of their lives into a compelling story. The key here is to remember that memoir is both personal and universal. Your job is to guide readers through your experience in a way that keeps them engaged and makes them feel like they are on the journey with you. And then finally, this is not the only roadblock, but I'm naming the most popular ones that most aspiring authors can identify with. And this one is imposter syndrome. It's that nagging voice in the back of your head that says, "Who am I to write a book? Why would anyone care about my story?" Let me tell you, every writer, no matter how experienced, deals with imposter syndrome at some point. It's just part of the process. But here's the thing. Remember that your story is valid. It is worth telling. And don't let those doubts stop you from writing. Silence the inner critic and keep going, because your voice matters. Every writer, but especially memoirists, face all of these challenges. So time constraints, deciding which story to tell, structuring your narrative, or feeling like your story isn't important enough. All of these roadblocks are incredibly common. But the good news is, they can all be overcome. And to help you identify what's holding you back, I have a free quiz called What's Your Memoir Writing Roadblock? In less than 2 minutes, you can find out what your biggest memoir writing roadblock is. Maybe it's time management, or maybe it's imposter syndrome, that little voice telling you your story isn't worth sharing. Whatever it is, the quiz will give you actionable results and resources to help you move past that roadblock and start writing with confidence. If you'd like to take the quiz, you can head over to my website, carriekreisman.com/roadblock. It's a quick quiz, it's free, and it might just be the nudge you need to get started on your memoir journey. So as I close today's episode, I want to leave you with this. Don't underestimate the power of your own story. You may think it's too small, too ordinary, or too messy, but I promise you someone out there is waiting to hear it. And when you share it, you might just change their life or even your own. So thank you so much for listening today, and I hope this episode inspires you to reflect on your own story and the power it holds. If you've been thinking about writing it down or sharing it in some way, take this as your sign to go for it. Until next time, keep believing in the power of your personal narrative because it absolutely matters. Now, next Wednesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m., I'm going to be at the Palladium Theater in St. Petersburg with Dogs, Inc., formerly Southeastern Guide Dogs. Aside from writing, I am a 15-year puppy raiser. And what that means is that we take a pup from 8 to 12 weeks old and keep it for a year to 15 months, training it, teaching house manners, socializing it, taking the dog out in public with us and giving it lots of experiences for its future role as a guide or service dog. So this event, Beyond the Dark, will give the public a chance to see what it is like for people who truly live with darkness day to day. And I encourage you to check it out. You can check it out on the Palladium's website or go to dogsinc.org. That's dogsinc.org. And get yourself a ticket or two and come on out. It should be a really enlightening event. And I'm going to be there with Christy, my 9.5-year-old black lab, who is an ambassador for Dogs Inc. Thank you. And I hope to see you.